Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. And we say good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard from Oklahoma. Blessings to you all up there.
And to you as well, sir. And Brother Ralph wasn't feeling too good tonight, so he kind of begged off. And so we'll try to fill in those big shoes that he's got tonight. But we welcome you, Christians, to the program. And the program is Hope is Alive. Pastor, I know you have Sure, go ahead.
Yes. Yes, I'm just going to say, and the good news is there is hope alive in the promotion through our Jesus in the area of the gospel that is not focused on very much that we're going to focus on tonight, even with testimonies. The gospel is big, it turns out, and of course the salvation being the primary, but who's got problems out there that are tormenting and harassing and blocking their lives? So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, how there are answers to that. And myself, having seen 40 years of those answers, I'm excited to be on the show again and to tell it and have these... two callers that will call in tell it as well.
Amen. Amen. We're looking forward to that. I wanted to, Pastor Cox, I don't think I had a chance to tell you this, but I wanted to give you a little praise report. We got a letter in here just last week, and it says, good morning. It says, I've had this book in my collection, but never read all of it. Just too busy for extra reading. We recently moved due to flooding three times, and this is from down in Louisiana. And they said, so this book resurfaced, and this is the book that you've authored, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, which is a book, but also a guideline and an owner's manual, if you will, on how to do just that, the supernatural works of Jesus, the things that he's told us to do. So... the letter goes on, it says, so this book resurfaced. Due to the enemy's havoc on my family, I began to read it and have been binding demons from my family once again. I need 6 copies of the book to send to my daughters, my sister, and my niece. And so they called and or wrote the letter and ordered 6 books, Pastor Cox, and I thought that was sure interesting and worth mentioning tonight. Praise the Lord. There's some families that are well on the way. Some that are already binding and doing the things that are outlined in your book, doing the supernatural works of Jesus, and other families that are in line to do it.
Yes, and so many people are not aware, as I started out mentioning earlier, of this works of Jesus that we're going to discuss tonight. And, of course, what is covered in my book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, it's amazing how many people are unaware that there is an enemy out there that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I can talk about it because I was among them. I was age 44 before I got introduced to what we're discussing tonight. I had no idea about there being evil spirits out there that even are attacking Christians. And as I got into this, it became quite clear that Christians even are the targets. There's some groups around here and there that suggest that Christians and not even be bothered by evil spirits. And 40 years looking back now, I have to say that's nothing further from the truth in that we are targets. And why? Because Christians are likely to share Jesus. They're likely to promote the gospel and to even learn how to do this kind of ministry, as we will see and discuss tonight. This is not a special gift area of the gospel. This is normal Christianity that we're talking about tonight that all Christians can do. And yes, in my book, I've laid it out by what we've learned thus far in ministering along this line, this area that's called deliverance. So the testimonies will help drive that home as well. I know there's probably people listening that, due to their theology background, they don't believe in any of this, but I guess the best answer to that is, well, talk to the person that was set free and see what they believe.
Right.
Well, there's many of those. We ministered to 776 last year, and it looks like we'll hit around 850 this year, perhaps even more.
Well, awesome.
We've been running more on our Monday evening ministry sessions where we have trained ministers from churches all around the Oklahoma City metro area that have gone through the training. And so we actually, Richard had 25 cases Monday night.
Okay.
And we had one of our ministers, Chris Davis, took 3 as a group, so we were able to muscle through the 25, and it was a fantastic evening of seeing the supernatural works of Jesus take place and seeing people's lives turned around. It takes a few hours. We start at 5:30 on Monday evening and usually go up to at least, a lot of people are finished around 10:30. There's usually a few that will go to 11:30 when we blow the whistle, mm-hmm. and reschedule if they need to. But even the ones, there was a couple that went to 11:30, but even then they did complete the ministry. And there, we find most Christians have around 36 spirits. That may sound far out to a lot of people, but it seems like just 8 or 10 would be a lot. But our experience is that when we minister to people, we find there's usually several dozen. It's like a kind of a package that Satan puts out to block a Christian's life. And of those 36 spirits, there's all types of problem areas, like fear is probably the biggest one. We run into all types of fear, and fear this, fear that, and panic attacks, and depression is a big one. Anger, rage, violence, all kinds of addictions, from pornography to hard drugs and gambling and all those kinds of things, which was a surprise to me in the beginning that there could be spirits behind that. But as Jesus said in John 10:10, those spirits come to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's certainly what they're doing, in Christians' lives.
Certainly.
So, the good news is from the gospel, from like Mark 16:17, Jesus told believers, even commanded believers, in His name to cast these things out. And we are to do the same works of Jesus. John 14:12, amazing passages that. We believers can do this. You know, I'm not out of a seminary. I'm not a priest, obviously. I am a mortgage banker by background, a CEO of a mortgage banking company for 26 years. And, you know, that wasn't what I had thought I was going to be doing in my life. when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit back in 1978, my life changed. And as I've often said, to the people that come for ministry, I am convinced had I not received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We all have a measure of the Holy Spirit, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a baptism for service even, and to witness and do many supernatural things. That's what led to me forming up Deliverance Ministries Incorporated in 1984. And it's been high adventure since, and it's so satisfying to hear the testimonies of where people's lives have been turned around, often in one evening. Some are more complicated than others and need to come back, but Monday night, it appeared like everyone was pretty well able to get to the goal line of their freedom and even physical healing. Of course, we see many of those in this process. But it looked like they all got there, and it's so fun to see the people when they're leaving. They look so different so many times, Richard. They even look younger many times. Sometimes it's so spectacular they don't look like the same person. You know, they come in depressed and pounded down, and with these spirits and kind of hunkered over, you know.
Sure.
And they go out. They go out with this huge smile, bright faces, and excited, you know. So it's, and then, of course, we follow up with these testimonies, and that's what we'll have on the show here shortly. So that's what we're doing, is promoting this works of the Jesus. Praise God, number one, our salvation, most of all, where we have our ticket to heaven. But then once you're born again, we find out there's even more to the gospel. For living this life abundant,
yes.
That Jesus said that He brought to us. So
amen.
That's the good news. Amen.
Amen to that. Amen to that. I know I've been out there, and I certainly, like, you know, I was smiling when you were talking about it, because I certainly remember feeling much better. And it is when you have a. Like you mentioned, that Jesus overhaul, you know, if you have to, when you overhaul an engine, the engine is better after it's done. When you have to overhaul anything, it's better after it's done. And it's the same way out there. It's better.
Yeah.
You know, folks, this isn't any hocus pocus. It isn't anything that is not just right here in the Scripture. You heard what Pastor Cox said there in John, that Jesus said, these things I do, you will do greater. If you read through at the great things He did, He lets us know that we will even do better. Well, Pastor Cox, it's about quarter after, and our phone line's ringing, and I think our first caller is Barbara. So let me bring Barbara on. Barbara, good evening, and welcome.
All right.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Oh, hi, Barbara. I'm so glad you called in. Can you hear me okay? All right. Well, Barbara, if you could, you're here in Oklahoma City. Go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again, and then about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then how you even heard about deliverance and any experiences that you've had there that you'd like to share.
Well, my name is Barbara, and I'm 71 years old, and I received the Lord as a toddler, about three and a half, something like that. And I've been a Christian all my life. That doesn't mean I've not missed the way occasionally. But I was baptized in the Holy Spirit around the early 70s. There was a revival in our part of the United States. And a lot of the Lutherans, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, and Catholics were getting a very different view of Jesus than they'd had. And that's when Francis Gardner Hunter came to our city and held a meeting. And she prayed over me, laid her hands on me at the end of the service. And I was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I was praying all the time, Jesus, if this is more of you, I want it. I want it. And that began a new relationship with Jesus, a more fulfilled relationship with Jesus. And I've been growing in grace and maturity and power in the name of the Lord. And I've been blessed with opportunities almost on a daily basis to share Jesus with others. And when the Holy Spirit does it, it is a beautiful thing. I heard about Everett Cox in, I think, the late 70s. And I had gone through a deliverance on my own because I had such an issue with my dad. Now, my dad was a godly man, but something he said to me, I really took in the law on the wrong vein, and the devil just really used it. And it was several years after that I received a deliverance in my own home when I chose to forgive my dad. I don't think my dad ever had an inkling what he had said or that he had said anything to just disturb me so much. But I had to get to the place of utter forgiveness. And I just felt a darkness and a blackness come out of my soul and set me free. Now, there's been times in my life that the enemy has tried to make inroads in my life. And one is through a very common thing called depression. I have been always very prone to depression. I'm pretty lightheaded and hearted gal most of the time. But anything that goes up will go down. And the enemy has really worked me over recently. And I married this wonderful Christian, mature man about 6 months ago. We both had lost our spouses. And the Lord just did miracle after miracle to get us together. But when I moved into his home, I would wake up at night and be in a depression. It was just demonic. And last Monday night, my husband and I decided to visit Everett Cox's Deliverance Ministry. and get some deliverance, give some relief from this terrible depression. And I'm not saying it's a completed work yet, but we are working that way and just not allowing the enemy to have a foothold in our lives anymore, to just immobilize us, because God's too good for that. And we don't have any more time to waste not ministering to others. So I'm just so thankful for Everett Kopp and his deliverance ministries, because I'm pretty mature Christian. I'm the one who goes to everybody else and prays for them for healing and salvation and so forth. But we really do need each other. Nobody gets to be an island out there by themselves. And I just praise the Lord tonight because he set me free. And now I can minister in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. And see, I guess it was a week and a half ago, wasn't it? It was a week ago Monday.
Yes.
You came, mm-hmm. and I ministered mm-hmm. to you, and you were even having crying quite a bit, weren't you?
Yes. Boy, the devil had just really infiltrated my life with fear. Just really...
Yeah.
It didn't make much sense, but it doesn't have to make much sense if you give him any kind of foothold in your life. He just can immobilize the Christian.
Yes. And when we got into ministry, we actually, we went through inner healing again, and we focused some more back with your dad and all, and mm-hmm. even in breaking of ungodly soul ties and mm-hmm. That seemed to go well. You were experiencing some relief in those steps, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
And then we finally got into the ministry section, and I was able to get the head demon up, and guess who the head demon was? Fear. And
yep.
He had some depression spirits under it. So, you know, there they were doing a job on you. Obviously, and
mm-hmm.
they, as I recall, they were there by satanic assignment. Wasn't that their entry? I've kind of forgotten already.
Yes.
By satanic assignment.
They were there by a satanic assignment. You know, I had some an enemy that was cursing me. And the assignment, the enemy takes very seriously. And...
Yeah.
Thank God there's victory in Jesus, and there's release, and there's freedom, and there's joy, because God is so much greater than the enemy. But the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's a great deceiver of the believer.
Yes.
And
yes.
As mature as I think I am, I was deceived. I was deceived by the enemy of fear. And boy, he got a grip on me. But I got set free, and I'm working on a daily
yes.
basis, sometimes many times a day, staying free of that deception and that
yes.
fear.
And that deceiver is a big one. We even had the head demon give the top 10 lies it'd been telling you in your head. You'd been hearing those, had you not, coming into your head, like
yes.
thoughts? And
yes.
We wrote those down for you. But as the Spirit said, it was there trying to block your life with lies, and that's common on everybody. It isn't just one person. Anytime I can get a head demon up, I'll have it give me the top mm-hmm. 10 lies that's speaking into that person's head, and I'll write mm-hmm. them down. And they're always defeating kinds of deceiving things. You know, you're,
oh, yeah.
you're no one loves you. You'll never be able to do this or that. And this kind of negative stuff. And anyway, once you're aware of those lies, and that's on all Christians, most Christians are in the same boat. We all are. Even after deliverance, they seem to still be able to push those lies at us. And what the demon admitted, that the opposite was the truth. You remember that?
Yeah.
I was talking through your mouth there, and it said
he was doing a number on me until you called him out, made him, deliver the good.
And but we went through those lies and reversed them since it admitted the opposite was the truth. And that'll make a person feel better every time. See, here the enemy's admitting it, the opposite is the truth. And so we went through those, and those 10 of them. And then he had it give me the top 10, God-given gifts that you have. I always do that when I get a communication going. And my gosh, you were loaded, Barbara.
Yeah.
Gifts there. And we went all over the page writing them down, about ran out of room.
So,
and that's why the enemy, of course, is always trying to block us, to hinder our lives so we won't do use our gifts like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm excited for you because the Lord expects you to use those gifts, Barbara.
Yes. And when a person has allowed fear to bring on that kind of depression, it becomes a physical malady. You know, you don't feel happy. You don't feel like doing anything. To walk across the room is a great effort. You can't be creative. So many things that were just paralyzed, basically, not physically, but emotionally paralyzed from doing the work of God and being a giving and productive person. It's so deceitful. He's so deceitful. He comes in little at a time and just takes this territory and then takes that territory. And, you know, if we do not have a very strong body of believers to worship and to share with, we sometimes just get taken in the deception and don't realize what the enemy is doing. We really do need the body of Christ. And my husband has been such a great help in praying for me and holding me up to the Lord and talking to me. And it's particularly just praying, putting his hands on my head or my shoulder and praying over me and to keep me free of these once we found the nest and eradicated the nest of them, you know. So, you know, it's God is good. He puts us in families for a reason.
Yes, and he coordinated you two together. Quickly share on that for a few minutes because it's so supernatural how you two met after you'd each lost your spouses. Share that quickly there, Barbara.
Well, God had arranged this from the beginning, the get-go. I woke up on a Friday morning and felt like I shouldn't go back to the church I loved and had been going through 11 years, and I met my husband 2 days later at a new church that I wouldn't have gone to if the Lord hadn't told me. And that was the first miracle. And both of us had lost our spouses, and I wasn't looking for another spouse. I just felt like, you know, I had been blessed so much by the Lord, I'll just go on my way and minister as a single person. But God had other plans. We met and we dated for 2 weeks, and I refused to let my husband kiss me. In those first 2 weeks, I don't know exactly why, but it was a God thing. And the next morning, in my hour with the Lord, I knew that God had said that he was going to put my husband and me together. Now, we had not talked about marriage or even love at this point at all. And we had a 4 o'clock appointment to have a date that day. And after I got the word from the Lord that I knew, I told my best friend that morning, I said, if Terry asked me to marry him tonight, I will. That is how sure I was it was the Lord speaking. And we had our 4 o'clock date, and I allowed Terry to kiss me for the first time. And 2 hours later, he asked me to marry him. He did not know of my word from the Lord.
Oh.
But he asked me to marry him, and I said yes. And about 4 days later, we were married in the church. And that was 6 months ago, and we have been ministering together. We've had some adjustments. You know, everybody is human, has adjustments when they marry a new person. But God has been so good, and we have been able to minister together, not on a daily basis, but almost on a daily basis. God has brought us to someone who needs the Lord or needs to hear that God is alive and well and still doing miracles. Our marriage is a miracle. We just sit back and reminisce and in awe of what God did. There were so many chances that this would not have happened, but
oh, yeah.
God was in the direction of it.
Yes, it was definitely supernatural, Barbara. And I've known your husband for many decades, and so I was really delighted to see all that happen. Well, think how many more with this fear and depression thing that we were talking about, Barbara, how many more people are out there just like your situation that are under the gun of the enemy and have no idea about relief that's available through deliverance and doing the works of Jesus?
Yeah.
I mean, they're all around us, aren't they? It's pretty sad that there aren't more churches promoting and doing this works of Jesus. A lot of the ministers that have come through the years, the 34 years we've been doing it as a corporation, many of the ministers have ultimately gone out on their own, and they've gone into their own churches. They're doing ministry, and the Lord is using us a lot that way. They get the training. Mm-hmm. Become team leaders, and then they're out there using it as a need comes up. All Christians need to be aware of how to do this kind of ministry, because you're going to run into it, no question about it. So in the last few seconds, anything else you'd like to say to the listeners before we wind up?
Well, I'm aware that many, many churches do not believe in deliverance, but it's scriptural. If you believe the Bible, you just need to read the first 4 books. Jesus did deliverance. All the apostles did it. If you don't know anybody who's been in a depression, maybe you can get by with not believing in deliverance. But the enemy is so real, And while he can't steal our salvation, he can sure steal our joy, and he can steal our physical strength. If you don't believe in there's a demon of evilness that tries to defeat Christians, I don't know what to say to you, because the devil's just happy if you don't believe him. But the Christians need this deliverance, and they need to be watching out for each other. And
amen. Well, thank you, Barbara. We probably got our other caller waiting now. So I appreciate you coming on and sharing all that. It was a marvelous testimony. So good night to you, Barbara.
Happy to give it. God bless you all.
God bless you. Okay. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Wow, what a powerful testimony. And yes, Pastor Cox, we do have the next caller on. Let me bring her right on. Hey, good evening. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
All right. Well, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, sir.
Hello, Barbara. Thank you for calling in. We just had another Barbara on the show, so it's not a problem to remember the names tonight.
Oh, well, I wish I could have heard her testimony.
Well, it's a good one, and
it sounded
like it'll be on the archive.
She went through a lot from the way that she was talking at the end. But I completely agree with her that everyone should believe that there is an enemy. And because Jesus states it in the Word. But one of my favorite scriptures is John 10:10. And that is that Jesus, he has came to give us life. Let me just read it right here. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And Satan, he lies to, he whispers in a person's ears, and then he makes them get to the point where he tells them enough of the lies in their ears, their thoughts, then they go and start speaking it.
Yeah.
And in Mark 11:23-24, that is a spiritual law, that whatever the seeds, whatever we speak out of our mouth, then that is a seed that we're planting in our life. And Satan knows that. And so,
and he uses it to his advantage. Well, Barbara, how about giving some history on yourself so the listeners kind of have an idea of where you've come from and when you were born again and filled with the Holy Ghost.
From,
I know you've got a neat testimony.
Well, starting back whenever I got saved, July 27th, 1981, and at that point my husband, he was not saved. But at various times he would say to me that he was okay. He would get very angry if I spoke to him about the Lord. And so I was continually, I did not realize at that time that people weren't my enemies. I didn't know anything about what Jesus had died for, about the Word of God. I did not know about that, how a lot of people are, you know. And so whenever the enemy would come at me through my husband and try to make me look like I was the bad person in our marriage, then the enemy would try to get me in unforgiveness, because I didn't know any better, you know. But anyway, eventually I did hear you on the radio, Everett. And I came to your meeting. And
how long ago was that?
That was about
how long ago?
Probably. See, I got saved 1981. It's about 1984, probably. And I happened to hear you on the radio. And so at that time, I received deliverance. And it was such, it was...
You came through the ministry, didn't you, Barbara?
Night and day, I was just a different... I felt free. Free. Not bound, I felt free to... I felt so much love and peace and joy.
Do you remember, Barbara, some of the spirits
that
came out?
July 27, 1981, I did not know that I could be completely free. I did not know this. And so whenever it would get really bad, the enemy, because you can imagine, I was the one that was standing between Mark's salvation and the enemy and Satan. And so whenever things would really get bad, I would call you, Everett, and sometimes it was at night when it would really get bad, and you would advise me and pray for me and just to show him love. That was the that was what I must do, and behind the scenes stand and have faith in God that my husband would be saved, and praise God, that whatever all of that, all of those years, 24 years, I stood and fought against the good fight of faith against Satan and against demonic spirits. And 24 years later, 1 month before my husband was to go out into eternity, because he had a terminal illness. He could not be, the doctors couldn't save him. Well, he gave his heart to the Lord. He got saved.
And
of all the years, I had known him for more than 40 years. We were married for 40 years. I'd never known a man in him that was born again. And for that month, before he left out, before Jesus came and got him and the angels, he begged every day to go to heaven. Pleaded,
wow.
When was it going to happen?
Praise God.
Yes, praise
That's
God.
That's awesome.
And now whenever I got born again, I thought that I was saved as somehow a person. Well, Satan is a deceiver. And he doesn't want anyone to find out the truth. He will lie and set up traps. And but one night, I just felt led to that I was going to go to church the next morning. And so I got up and I got ready. And I didn't have a Bible. I needed to take a Bible. So I was going to a Baptist church. And I remember carrying that big family Bible that I had, taking that with me. And I hadn't read it, but I was taking it with me. And I was walking across the parking lot, and they were saying, and the enemy, Satan, whispered in my ear, his demonic spirits, and said, you might as well turn around and go back. You can hear the music. Church has already started. People are going to be laughing at you anyway, carrying this big Bible in. You're not dressed right. You know, kept on lying to me. That was the last thing he wanted me to do. Oh, and when I went in there, the song that they were singing was, how does that go? I was there all the time, or he was there all the time. I was there all the time. You know, in that song, I just started crying. Whenever they were saying that. In other words, Jesus was wanting me to know he was there waiting for me all the time. And then my life completely changed. And I happened to find, well, the Holy Spirit helped me to find it, TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Television Network. And I noticed that the people on there, even though I was a baby Christian, that they had something that I did not have. And so I started reading in Acts. They kept talking about Acts, and I was reading in Acts, and I saw we were talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, and I would kneel on, I'd get on the floor and read those scriptures and read it out loud and ask the Lord Jesus Christ that I would be baptized in the Holy Spirit, that I would receive all that he had to give me. Well, I didn't know anyone. I would ask different people if they had received it, and they would look at me like, well, no, I haven't ever heard about that, you know. But that didn't bother me because I wouldn't give up. And so I was going to Crossroads Cathedral on a Sunday evening, and I had no idea that they had dedicated that night to the Holy Spirit, that the preacher was going to preach about it, and that everyone that wanted to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit to go forward. And just he told me to follow. So I went forward to start with and asked this man to pray for me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that's when he told me that. Well, I did follow the people, and we went back in the back there, and there was all kinds of people being prayed for. Right next to me, there was a little, about a five-year-old boy, and there was two women praying for him to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden he started praying in tongues, and I was so excited. I had never heard of anyone praying in the heaven in tongues, and I spoke to those two women that were praying for me, and I said, I want so much to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to speak in tongues. And they said to me, they said, well, lift your hands up and start praying and praising the Lord. Praise Jesus. And I said, how do you do that? I did not know. No one had ever told me. In the church, Baptist church I'd went to, no one had ever said anything about praising the Lord, you know. And so they said for me to just lift my hands up and praise him and say hallelujah. And I did that. And I kept saying hallelujah. And when I did, all of a sudden, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I started when I was saying hallelujah, that changed to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to tongues. Oh, that was so exciting.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I will always, from being born again and that, oh, it was just like, the Holy Spirit just opened up the door in my heart and just opened the door and came in and slammed the door. And I couldn't hardly walk
Praise
to get
God.
Out of the church.
Glory, that's so neat. Praise
yes.
God. You were really under the power of the Holy Spirit, weren't you?
Oh, yes. 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 And, you know...
So what changes... What did you see in your life then? What changes?
What changes have I seen in my life? Oh.
Well, ask me
well,
about
I
the Holy
Ghost. Well, I have realized
Ghost.
In my life that most important of all in a person's life is to get the Word of God. The Word of God is life. Well, even in, John 6:63, there is life in every word of God. In fact, Jesus said it this way, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And
yes.
This is in my life that I have the choice to make, the decision to make. Am I going to follow the Lord and receive his word and get in his word? And whenever we do that and speak, plant seeds of his word, well, then we are going to receive what Jesus said in his word. And if someone would have told me years ago that I would be choosing to study with all my heart the word of God, and to even call you and ask you for the literature that that I received back in about 1984, 83, something like that, you know, and so I could study those again. I need in studying the Word of God, listening to Kenneth Copeland down there in Texas, all of this for 5, 9 hours, even more than that, 12 hours, 14 hours a day, when they have all of these specials on down there in Texas at the church or different places. Like he just had one over in Charlotte, and I watched that from Friday night, and then Saturday morning, about 8 to 11:30 or 12, and then again from 1 to 5, and then again at 5:30 until 10:30. That's all in one day. And then again the next morning from 9 to 12. But my life is so different because, you know, I've chosen Jesus. And
yes.
But you know something, Everett, is that it's in everyone that has that choice, is what are you going to do with Jesus? Are you going to believe his word? Believe that he can save you? Believe that he can heal you? Believe he can deliver you and set you free? Believe that he can prosper you? And believe that God's word is true? And that one of these days we'll even go in the rapture? And
yeah.
My life is 100% different than it was before I had Jesus in my life, before I was born again, before I came to the deliverance ministry and was set free and learned how to keep myself, you know, clean, whole. And it's up to the individual person. No one can do it for you.
That's right. Yes,
Jesus has already done it. He's already paid the price that we're redeemed from the curse.
And that is what he did at the cross, is all-encompassing. You know, we received our ticket to heaven, praise God, the most important of all. But then the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and about deliverance, and about physical healing, even emotional healing. And it all comes in the package, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's high adventure, and it is truly life abundant. Would you say you're living life abundant now?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, I would.
Well,
and, you know, like what you were just saying, there are so many people, and just like myself now, I did not realize the fullness of all that Jesus has already paid the price for, that we're redeemed from the curse of law. And when Jesus hung on the cross, he paid the penalty. For it states there that he who is hung on a tree has paid the penalty for the curse. And I had no idea. Well, let me just remind me, back in 1981, shortly after I'd been saved, Jesus saved me, that I was out at Tinkerfield. This is probably in September. I was out at Tinkerfield, and I happened to hear a man praying. And so I listened where his voice was coming from. I found him, and I saw him, and he had his hands laid on this woman, and he was praying for her healing from cancer. And I was just in awe. I had no idea at all that anybody could get healed. No, I thought it was just in the Bible, that it was in the Bible that you read about it. Even after I got born again, I did not, you know. And so I felt led by the Holy Spirit to go in when that woman left where this man was. And I went over there to him, even though as a baby Christian, I could discern that he was, of the Lord, you know, that he was true by the Holy Spirit. And so I told him my name, and I asked, I said, I overheard you praying for that woman for cancer. And Everett, I said, will Jesus heal her? Will Jesus? Can Jesus? Will he heal a person of cancer? You know, like that, like a childlike faith, you know. And that the preacher said, well, yes, he will. And I even told him, I said, well, I thought that was just in the Bible. I've never heard of such thing. I was in awe. And he said, well, yes. He said, Jesus will heal anybody if they believe it and they receive it.
Yes.
And I said, well, would Jesus heal me? And he said, yes. I said, well, would you pray for me? And he said, yes, I will. He said, now, first you've got to believe it, that you receive it. You believe it's true, that Jesus has paid the price for your healing. And I said, yes, I believe it, and I receive it. So he laid his hand on me, and he prayed for me. And, well, first of all, let me back up. The next morning, I was to go to a hospital and have x-rays taken to see the condition. Because at that time...
Only seconds remaining.
Yeah. Miss Barbara, we're just about out of time. We've got to kind of wrap things up tonight.
Okay. But when I had the x-ray taken, they did not find any sign of any ulcer.
Praise the Lord.
In fact, when I called the doctor, talked to him, he said the nurse said it's as though you've never had an ulcer. And that is not a fact. If anyone has ever had an ulcer, they always have a scar. And there was no scar tissue.
Thank you, Barbara.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much. That's a great testimony.
Welcome.
Thank you for calling in tonight.
You're welcome.
God bless you, Barbara.
Anytime. God bless you for having me, and thank you. And I pray that God... blessings and healing and deliverance and healing on all people that listen. Amen.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Wow. A double treat of Barbara's tonight and great testimones. Great testimonies. Healings and life changes for that life and life abundant. Praise God.
Yes. She told us. Good.
Yes.
Praise God. Well, blessings to everyone.
And to you, Pastor Cox. And, folks, we have the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. If you'd like it, you can contact us here at the ministry office. And kind of like the lady down in Louisiana, we'll send you six if you want, or just one if you need it. And we're going to go out with this Luke 10:19. I sure like it. Catchy tune, and it's a good way to remember it, and just to keep talking about it all day long. Well, Pastor Cox, God bless. Have a great
Luke,
evening.
Chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy.
Overcome. I have given you authority.